Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
They are in a full-on one-game-at-a-time mentality.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
He is Patrick Mahomes. What do you think is wrong with the team right now?
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think it's just execution. I believe that we have the guys, we have the players, we have the coaches.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports broadcaster Joe Buck. Coming up, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. San Diego State punter Matt Arena. Risa, actor Joe Manganiello, plus your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on NBC Sports on Peacock, which we're putting show number 200 on this platform today and counting. We're very excited to be here every single day after Dan Patrick, leading you to Brother from Another at 3 Eastern Time. We also follow DP on Sirius XM channel 211, NBC Sports Audio. We're on Odyssey, streaming coast to coast, and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network smart enough to have us, because we make you smarter. We have a good time every day.
We do have a good time.
Yes, we do.
I didn't mean to call you guys old.
Yes, you did. It's all right, because we love our landlines. It's okay.
I'm trying to apologize.
I appreciate that. Thank you for apologizing.
Thank you for apologizing.
Chris, how are you, Chris?
Rough morning. Sarah's on a flight right now to Houston.
Going to World Series Game 2.
Go to Game 2 tonight. Max Fried pitching for the Braves up 1-0, in case you missed it. And so I had to do the morning. Normally I don't handle the morning routine with Cage, like breakfast, yes. Get dressed, drop off at school.
Yes.
And so Cage was looking at me this morning just kind of with that, like, who are you and why are you here?
Correct. What's happening?
What's happening? The dog was a little freaked out because he didn't really. Why are you here
right.
as well? So
why am I not getting my nutrients and vitamins I normally get every day?
Right.
What's this slot that's here in front of me?
What are you like? So you know, a little thrown off kilter.
Where's the
so
lady?
I didn't want to come in hot, like calling you guys old.
No, it's okay. We're just glad you came in at all.
Thanks.
You know.
Yeah.
We're glad that Cage is fine, right? Everything's good?
Drop off went flawlessly.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so you know it's all good.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
This is good. You're outstanding. Maybe you should get best dad ever signed for a minute.
I could
loan it to you for a second.
I'm trying to be
a functioning adult. For a second.
Del Tufo, good to see you. TJ Jefferson over there in hour number one. We talked about how Cooper Rush has taken some first team snaps with the Dallas Cowboys. That'll be something to ask Ian Rappaport about, because he was the one in the preseason who was like, yeah, the MRI on his Dak's thrown shoulder is precautionary. He's going to be just fine. And then he had six games of MVP caliber material. So Ian can calm these waters for you.
I need that.
Or tell you that, hey, it could be a Cooper Rush game on Sunday night.
Let's hope it's the former in that
scenario.
That would be bad.
Okay.
Cooper Rush game would be bad.
So we'll see that.
Man.
Ian also with quite the scoop today on his Twitter feed, saying that the Panthers are out of the Deshaun Watson pursuit. Quarterbacks only waived his no-trade clause for the Dolphins, is what Ian Rappaport said. Now, whenever, you know, back in the day, when advances on my part to someone else, say high school, college, post-college, were not returned, after a while, you know, you got to move on, right? Well, my stick-to-itiveness has now led me to have a beautiful wife and three children.
Yeah.
Okay?
And again, she will have to tell that story of the ultimatum that she brought up.
That's right.
This summer. Not me.
It's written down. Haven't
forgotten. Next time when best mom ever, Susie Schuster, sits in this chair, that's for you to ask. That'll be great.
Write that down.
I will be hopefully golfing somewhere completely oblivious to the contents of that conversation until they're posted later.
Yeah, you'll see the video.
But the whole point is if Deshaun Watson doesn't want to come and he's like, and you're reaching out to him, say, we want you here. We got Matt Rhule. We got Joe Brady. We got a passing scheme that's perfect for you. Didn't you see what Joe Burrow looked like in college? Don't you want to do that right here? You got DJ Moore who catches everything and Robbie Anderson who used to and Christian McCaffrey when he's healthy. Why not us? Well, what's going on? What's with the high hat? To use the Coen brothers phrase. And so they're out. Even though we're wondering how much were you in? And they're making a lot of noise about not being in pursuit for a team that's already on the hook for a fifth-year option of a now benched and reinstalled quarterback. Interesting times in Carolina. They're out because Deshaun doesn't want to come. And I guess it's now all or nothing with the Dolphins between now and November 2nd. And each passing day, tick, tick, tick. If I'm Nick Caserio, I'm going to take the last second for the Houston Texans. I'm going to 12:01. I'm going to just get it going here. Miami, guess what? You need to come up with more to get him right now. And if I'm the Dolphins, I'm sitting back saying, okay, well, we're the only team that he'll be willing to be acquired by. So guess what? Our offer is what we've given you. That's it. We'll wait. We'll have you sit there with him all season, and then we'll come to you again. And you're going to have to come, and the offer will be less next time. Certainly if he's not willing to be traded anywhere else. That's the way I think I'm going. But if I'm Caserio, I'm holding on for dear life till the very end. You know why? Because with each passing minute that this goes by, and it takes all the way to the end, to Tuesday afternoon, that's less of a chance that Deshaun Watson's going to start against the Houston Texans in week 9.
That would be something.
Yeah, that's first up. I'd like to see Tua instead of Deshaun. Right? They're going to have to onboard him. He's going to have to get through, you know, whatever COVID testing. He's going to have to go through this, that. They're going to just throw him out there and within 3 days, welcome to the Dolphins. Here's your playbook. Go.
I mean, he could beat the Texans on 3 days.
You could say that all you want. You joke all you want. The Houston Texans get Tyrod Taylor back, and I think that's a different story, and I think you would agree with that, too.
I would, actually. They were beating the Browns with him in the lineup.
Tyrod Taylor comes back, and it's a different story.
You know, kind of went to crap.
The Texans aren't going to be homecoming when he comes back. And the Miami Dolphins, I'm looking right now, their bye week is deep into the season. So it's not even one of those things where that's a week 14 bye. Jeez. So they're going to have to work him in right away. You're going to throw him out there on an early. By the way, week 10 for the Dolphins is an early Thursday night contest home against the Baltimore Ravens. Could that be it?
So you trade for him.
On Tuesday, and then he gets 9 days to get ready for week 10.
He sits out against Houston and then is back in action.
Oh, wait a minute. I just saw this. Please. No, I totally understand what it is now. You see who they're playing week 11? Put it back up again, Hoskins. That's it. Of course this is what it's going to be. Please.
Oh, God.
They play the Jets. Oh, yeah. Just in time to start winning games in the AFC East.
Joe Flacco against Deshaun Watson.
Okay. It's Mike White. Just announced the starter today.
Hey. Well, because Joe's not up to speed. Joe's not going to be with the team until Friday.
I mean, you know, there it is. Mike White will start Sunday against the Bengals, says Robert Saleh.
Go pick up the Cincinnati defense in fantasy.
Ian Rappaport's going to join us shortly with all the latest on this. So, once again, just to put a button on it, you guys want to come to me? Panthers, I'm immediately getting out there saying, "What? Who's Deshaun Watson? I don't know that guy. You tell me. We were in on him? I don't know that guy. Who's he? Oh, that guy? We wanted him? Making all those noises. Yeah. And if you're the Miami Dolphins, it's like, okay, good to know. He's only waving his no trade for me. My offer stands pat. And guess what? With each 24 hours, Nick, it gets worse.
What do you do if you're Tua? You just not show up to work?
No, of course not. He's a total pro. What you show up to is you just keep going.
But this is like...
You keep going.
This is like your wife has like been talking about getting a divorce for like months, and then you keep going home and
what's
like,
he supposed
hey,
to
honey,
do?
I love you, what, and show up let me make dinner.
What's he supposed to do? Show up in sweatpants?
Yeah, like Costanza. Like try, like
Ben Simmons?
Like, he's come not. On.
No, no. He's got to play. He's got to play because guess what? This trade might not happen.
But
guess
they don't want him.
That's clear.
That is clear.
It stinks.
Obvious.
It stinks. It's terrible. Absolutely
and he's played
terrible.
Pretty well the last two
Ask
weeks.
Ask Josh Rosen how it feels. Ask Jalen Hurts how it felt. And guess what Jalen did? He stuck in there, didn't he?
Well, he transferred.
After sticking in there for an entire year, leading Nick Saban to tell, you know, Maria Taylor quit asking. Remember
yeah.
that one?
Yeah.
So
not good, man.
Ian Rappaport coming up with the latest. That'll be great. Check it out here on the Rich Eisen Show or later on if you're seeing this on our YouTube stream. Let's give $1,000 away, as we always do every single week here on the Rich Eisen Show, to a college football player that's not expecting an NIL deal. Not expecting to get $1,000 from Gorilla Glue and free glue product courtesy of Gorilla Glue and the Rich Eisen Show. Okay? When you originally called me this summer to talk about this idea, Chris, your original idea is let's do it just for punters.
Let's do punters.
That's it, because they're not going to expect it. We expanded the scope of things.
We did. Good idea.
And it took a couple months for us to finally do what you originally had an idea for us to do, your original intention and our original intention. We've got a punter.
Yeah.
And he's not just a punter. He's a kicker, too. This guy is one of the best in college football, to wit, for the now 21st ranked, unless you want to go with the coaches poll, top 20, undefeated San Diego State football team. Sends out Matt Araiza this week against Air Force. In the thin, yes, Colorado Air, standing in his own end zone, first punt of the game. Air Force stops San Diego State, already up 3-0 because he's kicked a 22-yard field goal. Yes, he's also the kicker for this team. Mm-hmm. He punts one from his own end zone and puts it onto the 12-yard line of Air Force. And then later on in the game, kicks a 51-yard field goal. So he has an 81-yard punt and a 51-yard field goal in the same game. This is what makes Matt Araiza one of the best in the country. And also, he ended the game where it was a one-possession game. And Air Force stops San Diego State and gets the ball back with a chance to try and win it. But he pins him inside the 10. And that was all she wrote. So, he is our Gorilla Glue toughest player on the planet Earth for the week. Matt Araiza, is he on the phone right now?
Yes, sir.
And here he is, the Rich Eisen Show Gorilla Glue toughest player on planet Earth winner for this week. He gets himself an NIL deal with Gorilla Glue. Ladies and gentlemen, San Diego State's own punting and kicking. Matt Araiza, everybody, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, all right.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
How are you, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Let's just start off with a question that I have for you. Is it true that when you got the call saying that you were, in fact, the toughest player on planet Earth, winner of the week from Gorilla Glue and the Rich Eisen Show, you thought you were being punked? Is that a true story?
Yes. I get a ton of spam calls from fake car dealerships telling me about a warranty for my car or something. So
yes.
When I didn't see the number, I was a little confused, but I'm glad I picked it up.
Okay, great. And so, you Zach, publicist to the stars, was telling you this was happening, and you thought, like, this can't be actually real, right? That's what you
Absolutely.
Thought.
Absolutely.
Well, guess what's real, Matt?
It is.
All of this is real. Your leg is real. That is for damn sure. How did you get into kicking? Matt Araiza. How did that come about first?
My dad played football in high school, and my brother played football as well. My brother kicked and punted. So he brought me out there a couple times when I was younger, and my parents convinced me, well, my dad convinced me and my mom that I should play football. We were both a little nervous about it.
Yes.
But it was a great call by him, and both my parents have been incredibly supportive ever since.
Well, I just remember years ago, Matt, when I brought my Jewish mother to a Michigan game when I was there. It was Parents Weekend. and she got confused when there was a flag on the play when a kicker got roughed, and she asked what that was about. And I told her that you're not allowed to hit the kicker, and she goes, oh, then I would have let you play football. That's what she said to me. So is that essentially what you're saying went in your household?
Yeah, with you? Somewhat of that. She was okay with me kicking and punting, but didn't like seeing me go out there and play wide receiver.
Well, you're outstanding at what you do. How do you get so good, Matt? I mean, I know that's a kind of a roundabout macro question, but how are you so damn good at this?
Just a lot of work in the off season and a lot of work in my 4 years here. We're very diligent here, and the off season strength and conditioning program has played a huge part. And my coach, Coach Deacon, has just worked his butt off, dialing me in and getting me prepared to go out there.
And dialing you in, how? Like, what walk me through your mindset as you get ready to try and flip a field, pin somebody, or split an upright as you did this past week?
Well, in preparation, just we watch film from practice, and we go over inconsistencies or things that can make you inconsistent and try to continuously work on those. But when I go out on the field, I just have a blank slate in my mind, I guess, just completely clear. And when I get the snap, I just let it rip.
And you're certainly doing that. How far can you punt one, Matt? You hit 81 in altitude against Air Force this weekend. Mm-hmm. How far can you hit one?
Well, that one was 75 in the air from the line of scrimmage.
Yes, it was.
And I believe 84 from where I was standing.
Okay.
But I always believe that I can keep getting better, and I know that to be true. So I guess the new bar to look for is 80 in the air.
So where can you do that at sea level, do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I've hit a ball as big as the one in the game at sea level before, just not in a game yet.
Okay, so you think? So here's the goal. Let's be honest here. You're all backed up. You're in your own end zone. Doesn't matter. But you're just standing around and you see color on the field other than actual grass, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're standing in your end zone. You pin it on someone else's one. You think you can do that? What do you think?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. When can we see you do that, Matt? I'd love to see you do that.
We'll see. Hopefully this week. We have a huge game against Fresno State.
Yep.
Has big implications for the conference and the conference championship, which is our goal here. What we think about all the time through every offseason lift and run and every practice, it's all to win the conference championship. So hopefully this would be a good week to pull out a big punt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Matt Araiza, the winner of the Gorilla Glue, toughest player on planet Earth, player of the week right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so let's just wrap it up this way. When you hear people say that punters and kickers are not football players, I've been fighting that quite a bit. Larry David actually came in studio this past week and said that he thinks all kickers should be out of the game, and I laughed. I don't think he really means it, Matt. I don't ascribe to that by any stretch of the imagination. I used to give away t-shirts that said punters are people too. How do you respond to that, Matt Araiza, as somebody who kicks an 81-yard punt and a 51-yard field goal in the same game for his undefeated team, Matt?
I appreciate it. That's a lot of motivation for me. So when I hear stuff like that, it motivates me to go out there and work on my craft to help the team win games and also build myself as an athlete. I'm confident that I can go out there and compete with anyone on the field athletically, and proven that a couple times on some tackles. We had a big game against University of Utah, and their returner, we were being told all week, he's one of the best in the country, one of the best in the country. So when I was hitting these big punts, I would immediately run downfield, and he actually returned one against us, scored a touchdown on it, and then on the next one, I pinned it out of bounds, and then on the next one after that, he started dancing around back there, and I chased him down and threw him and got in his face a little bit, and
yeah.
Then he told me to come back and try and do that again, and then later on in the game, I hit him again and put him on his back, so that's all that motivation kind of just motivates me to go out there and do stuff like that.
Yes! This is why you get this NIL deal, Matt Araiza. This is why you do. So what needs fixing? You're going to get glue. You know what you're getting. You're getting a $1,000 check, right? That's always, I'm sure, comes in handy.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to get some free glue. You're going to get some product. What needs fixing around your parts,
well,
Matt?
Well, currently the slides I'm wearing right now are close to falling apart. So I'm looking forward to that shipment coming in, and hopefully I can save the shoes I'm wearing.
Matt, This is your feet we're talking about. This is your livelihood. You can't have this. We're going to get this fixed.
Exactly. Gorilla Glue will fix that.
Yes. Fantastic. Okay. This is all coming in handy. You know I love your coach, right? You know I know Brady. I'm a Michigan guy, so you know I love this guy. He must love you. He's a line coach by trade. He must love you going down and hitting people and flipping fields and pinning teams back. I mean, your team might sputter a bit on offense. Doesn't matter. Send in Matt. Let's go stick him inside the other 10. It's amazing. It really is amazing what you're doing, Matt. Really.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You are most welcome. So congrats on this. And I guess last one for you. You seeing pro scouts around talking to you, ready to chat to you about the NFL?
I don't really think they're allowed to talk to us yet, but we do have a good amount of pro scouts at our practices.
Okay.
Which
Very
is
good.
Always good.
Don't want to get in trouble. Okay.
All of us, we have a ton of talent here, and it's just good to get that NFL recognition.
The idea is to punt on Sundays, correct, Matt?
Yes,
you?
Sir.
And kick? Do you want to punt and kick in the pros? You want to do both? What do you think?
If the opportunity comes, I would love to. I know it's not common, but...
It isn't.
Someone has to do it. Someone has to be the first.
Matt Arise, everybody.
Boom.
Toughest player on planet Earth.
There you go,
right,
Matt.
Here from San Diego State, which is currently 21st in the nation. Good luck to you against Fresno State, and let's talk down the line, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. There's our guy, our punter. Our punter and kicker. Yes, they're toughest players on planet Earth, too, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Brought to you by Gorilla Glue, makers of high-quality adhesives and tapes. Much like the players this award recognizes, Gorilla brings toughness and strength to even the most difficult household projects and repairs. Gorilla Glue, the toughest jobs on planet Earth. That's what it's for.
I love Gorilla Glue, man. It's amazing.
And we just love our relationship with them. Again, this kid thought we were punking him. Now he's punking. He punks everyone with his feet and his legs. 81-yard punt and 51-yard field goal in the same game. He thinks he can pin somebody from one end zone to the other.
I wanted to ask him this, and maybe we will wait when this season is over. He could come out, right, and get drafted?
I don't know.
Like, and he's a junior. Matt's a junior.
Punter coming out early?
A punter could come out early, be a factor. Third, fourth round pick. Why not?
I'll take him.
I mean, we had a couple guys. This
Number time that the Jets offense sputters.
Taken him over.
This is a weapon. This is this is serious business. Again, early on in the game in Air Force, San Diego State just up 3 points, 3-0, and they're pinned in their own end. Doesn't matter. Kick it out of your own end zone and stick them inside their own 15. Late in the game. Uh-oh. We made them burn all their timeouts, but they stopped us. They got to get the ball back. Here we go. Time clocks with each first down. Time stops with each first down. Here we go. Air Force has a chance to win until they're pinned inside their own 10. Game over. That's a weapon, bro. And the margin difference, they won by 6. 22-yard field goal, 51-yard field goal. Boom. There you have it.
Smitch just texted me. He's done the 80-50 back-to-back games. 50-yard punt, 50-yard field goal. He said that he can legit stand in the end zone and kick it to have it downed at the one.
Dude can't have broken slides on those golden feet.
Exactly.
Okay. So he's either going to use the glue or the money to get the slides that he needs. Let's take a break. Ian Rappaport, when we come back, Antonio Brown injury news. What's the latest on Khalil Mack, Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey, Deshaun Watson? Oh, baby, the answer's coming up. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Love this guy. Love working with him. Love all the things about him, especially his accuracy and his honesty and the fact that he likes calling into this show when I ask him to. I hope. Ian Rappaport, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, joining us from New York City, where the league meetings just wrapped up. How are you, sir?
Since we're talking about accuracy and honesty, you guys actually called me. I just merely answered the phone.
No, I know that. That's true. You didn't pick up the phone and dial us. I guess that is
right. I didn't straight. Dial. I received the call.
Very good. You'd like
happy to talk to you. Regardless.
Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate it. All right, let's start with Deshaun Watson. So your tweet that the Panthers are no longer pursuing, they're out. Your last line, the quarterback has only waived his no trade clause for the Dolphins. Is that the reason why the Panthers are out? They tried to get Deshaun to waive for them and were rebuffed. Is that what we should read between those 280 character lines, Ian?
Here are the reasons, and there are several. And first of all, I want to be clear. The Panthers are out right now. My understanding is they are out through the next 6 days. Like, if Deshaun Watson is not traded by the trade deadline, and this goes into next offseason, which would make this officially the longest story in the history of the world. But anyway, if that happens, I would expect the Panthers to kind of be back in. The trade would be expensive. Not prohibitive, but expensive. That's one. The other thing is they would like to talk to him. They would like to sit down with him. They'd like to get everything there is to possibly know about Deshaun Watson. They would like to hear from him on the field, off the field, all the questions that they might have.
Right.
They have not been able to do that and are not going to be able to do that over the next 6 days. So that is another reason. Yes, he has only, as of right now, waived his no-trade clause for the Miami Dolphins. If the Panthers would have traded for him, you can't do it not knowing whether or not he would accept a trade. Those are the reasons why they have pulled out and why I reported what I did.
Okay, so then let's take this one step at a time then. Does that mean the Dolphins have been able to talk to Deshaun Watson?
I know the Dolphins have done extensive work on Deshaun Watson, his situation. I do not believe there's been any official contact between Deshaun Watson and the Miami Dolphins.
Because you'd have to ask permission and the Texans would have to grant it and Deshaun would have to grant it too. I imagine if he's waiving his no trade clause, he would be granting an appearance with him, and you'd have to figure a team would have to ask him questions about you could do as much gumshoe work as you possibly can. Nothing beats face to face, eye to eye, man to man. You know, right?
Right. And especially, you know, I'm not the one making the decision and it is not my team, but I still cannot imagine. It's actually a good point. I cannot imagine doing this. You know, you can think one thing,
right?
But if you're going to give three first rounders and more, plus many, many millions of dollars, plus, you know, the public reaction will be certainly notable if a trade does happen. You better be sure. And one way to be sure is to do the extensive research, including getting a feel for what the person is like. So I certainly do understand from Carolina's perspective.
Now, you're mentioning three first-rounders right there. Is it possible the price could go down? It certainly would for me if I know that I'm the only team that he would waive a no-trade clause for. You know, and I understand that the word that just bringing everything that you said together, Ian, is that if this goes to next offseason, there could be other teams that would be willing to get back in it, but nobody can get in it if the guy who has a no trade clause is only willing to waive it for one team. So wouldn't that kind of take away any leverage Nick Caserio has for wanting dollar for dollar as opposed to cents on it?
No, but I do think I don't think that would take away leverage. I mean, yes, the Miami Dolphins are in a good position now, but Caserio's leverage is he doesn't have to do the deal. You can really make a legitimate argument, Rich, that it makes sense for the Texans to wait. And here are the reasons. If they wait, they know what draft picks they're actually getting. Like, if you trade Deshaun Watson to, let's say, Miami right now, you know, they could reel off 11 or, I don't know, whatever week we're in, 10 straight wins, and devaluing the draft pick that you just received. If you trade in the offseason, his play won't affect the draft picks this year. Also, you have more teams. And think about, it's amazing. I thought about this the other day. Think about how many teams are going to need a quarterback next year. Like, it's astounding. How many? Like, honestly, probably 8 or 9 are going to need a frontline starting quarterback. There aren't that many, so the price of Watson goes up. Plus, you'll have more clarity on his legal situation. So there are arguments that the Texans could use to wait, and that really is their leverage, even though it seems there's only one team.
What are you hearing there? You're in the seat of power. The commissioner in his press conference yesterday said that they haven't received enough information or access to enough information or any information that would lead to them putting him on the commissioner's exempt list now or even after a trade is made involving him. What are you hearing there? I mean, I've been to these meetings before. Everybody's talking. I mean, what are you comfortable sharing? What are you hearing about that front, about his situation, his legal resolving it?
That is not a surprise. I mean, the NFL has actually been consistent. And, you know, the reason Roger Goodell said it like that is because he always wants to reserve the right to get more information and say, okay, well, now we're going to do this. We're going to just spend them. We're going to put them on the commissioner's examples. Whatever happens, you always want to keep the door open and say we might get more info. The main point of what he said yesterday, which is that Watson is eligible. Like, he didn't say those words, but that was the point. That if, let's say, the Dolphins traded for Deshaun Watson right now, he absolutely would be eligible to play. And that is a significant thing. And, you know, I know there's all sorts of questions, like would he be suspended and all that. Like, based on the information, and there's only two reasons you can be put in the commissioner's exempt list, and they are very clear in the personal conduct policy. One is if you are charged with a crime of violence, or two, if you are charged with a felony. Or three, well, actually three, or if the commissioner suspects that any of those things are going to happen based on his information. The Watson case does not rise to that level. That is why he's not on the exempt list.
Ian Rappaport here on the Rich Eisen Show from the league meetings in New York. Let's go injuries, injury-orama here, starting with Dak. Mike McCarthy saying Cooper Rush getting first-team snaps this week, but that's normal. That's part of a normal week. Last time and we had the conversation about Dak's health was back in the preseason when we were kind of having our fun with the MRI being termed precautionary, and you're like, well, guess what? It was. It is. So I ask you, how serious is the calf right now for him?
Not that serious. I think he's going to be okay. It sounded like last week had a really good week. I know after Saturday's rehab session, I thought the Cowboys were pretty optimistic all the way. But after Saturday's rehab session, they were very optimistic. Like, I guess he had a really good session. He was in the pool for most of the week. It's impossible to say that without thinking of Costanza. But
there definitely would be shrinkage on the scoreboard if it's Cooper Rush on Sunday night. Let's put it that way. You know, you would assume.
I would say that is I mean, with all due respect to Cooper Rush, I think that is correct.
Yes.
But they think he's going to be okay. You know, is he going to be like 1,000% mobile? Maybe not. But like, he hasn't run that much this year anyway. I'd be pretty confident. I'd be pretty confident in knowing what they're going to get.
Okay, so you think we're seeing him Sunday night as we're sitting here on a Wednesday? That's what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, all right. There you go, TJ. There you go. There's your answer. You know, and he was right the last time. So you were spot on, Ian, last time about his arm or back or all that stuff.
You know, one might say I'm often right. One definitely could not be. No one in my family or my wife, but some other people.
That's very good. Okay, what's going on with Antonio Brown? Is his injury more serious than believed? Is that the case in Tampa with him right now?
Yeah. I mean, he's on crutches. That's not great. And the way Bruce Arians described it is is a little worrisome, I have to be honest. Like, did you hear what he said? He said it's an ankle sprain, but it's around the heel. That is not a good description of an injury, especially if you have an explosive player. And, like, if you ever had a heel injury, and I happen to have the privilege of one time injuring my heel, not saying I'm quite like Antonio Brown, but I just, I've also had a heel injury, it is terrible. So I would say, yes, this is a little worrisome for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. What's the latest on Michael Thomas? When do you think, you said a couple weeks ago that it would be more than a couple weeks after he could come off of injured reserve or PUP, right? So what's the plan for him? Because one would think, you know, that that's what, a large missing ingredient. I mean, we saw on Monday night an offense that was all about making sure Alvin Kamara got the ball in open space and things like that. But after a while, one would think other teams like the, maybe, say, the Bucs would be able to stop that more effectively than Seattle. What do you think? What's the deal with Michael Thomas?
I mean, just first, like, from a big picture situation, I thought Jameis played well. There were some, like, the receivers did not help him at all.
Right.
I mean,
they couldn't get open.
Some dimes out there. Like,
well,
and I'm
well
not
they did get open and they dropped
him. Right. I'm not going to, like, go there where I had him in fantasy and I needed him to have a big day and he actually did it since his receivers let him down and therefore I lost. Like, I'm not going to go into all that.
Nice.
But it would have helped me. Anyway. Michael Thomas has been with the team. He has been rehabbing. That is good news. And usually that wouldn't be noteworthy, but remember, he kind of went dark a little bit last offseason leading to the situation. So he has been with the team. He has been rehabbing. His return is coming. I don't know if it's going to be this week, but it is coming soon. So I would imagine, you know, by November, he is probably going to be able to play, barring some sort of setback. I think they're going to be okay there, and I think they're going to get him back soon.
Okay. Christian McCaffrey, what about him? Panthers haven't won since he left the middle of that Thursday night week three game in Houston.
And Sam Darnold's been a different player. And I don't know if the two are
related.
It's hard to know whether or not they're related. Because
right.
Like, he's missing throws that have nothing to do with McCaffrey. It sounds like the goal is for him to be back right when IR ends. Like, they almost didn't put him on IR, but then they did just to be cautious and make sure when he's back he's 100%. So, you know, his medical situation has been just frankly curious over the past couple years. It sounds like when he is eligible to come back, he will be able to.
Okay. And Russell, what about Russ? You hearing anything on Russ Wilson? I mean, we saw him with that sort of, you know, covering on his hand, and he looks like he's just ready to go. Like, he just can't get in the starting blocks fast enough. But do you think Seattle does get him back after their bye in Week 10? What do you think about that one?
Now, when you say raring to go, do you mean because he does the 2-minute drill with, like, no one else on the field before the game?
that's what I mean. Yeah, for sure.
And that's totally normal, right, just so we're clear?
No, Ian, it's not normal.
That's
not
Chris normal. Right there chiming in. What do you think?
I mean, anyway, things are going well. He's going to have today's Wednesday, right?
Yes.
He should be having the pins out soon, which I think is good. And then once that, he had, I think it was 3 pins put into his finger, which sounds horrible. And that should be, I think it's soon. I think it might even be today. We'll see when it actually is. But then you start the rehab process. So the best case scenario was week 10 against the Packers.
Right.
I think that is still possible. If it's not, I think week 11 should be fine, which I think is against the Cardinals, but I can't really remember.
Right.
But things are going well. And, like, you know, I thought this was going to be fine, that Geno would win a game or maybe two and kind of hold it down. Obviously it hasn't happened. So, like, he needs to come back. And I would imagine this push things even more than they were already pushed.
Okay. Last one for you on availability and things like that. Is Jalen Hurts in danger of being benched in Philadelphia? I mean, you hear all sorts of crazy stuff. But for Gardner Minshew, is it possible the Eagles want to just kick the tires on Gardner in any way, shape, or form? What are you hearing out of Philly, if anything?
You know, yeah. I mean, I can't ignore what happened, right, which is Joe Flacco got traded to your team.
Mm-hmm.
And Gardner Minshew became the backup. That is a step. I don't think they want to give up on Jalen Hurts unless they absolutely have to. So So if the season is out of reach, if they have nothing left to do, then I think then maybe Minshew will play then. But I don't think it's going to be a situation where they kind of just turn to him and say, oh, we'll see what happens. Like, they want to give Jalen Hurts a fair shot. They have not yet committed to Jalen Hurts as their future starter, nor should they. They don't need to. But it's pretty clear the door is open. I think, you know, life would be easier if Jalen Hurts was their absolute sure starter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're there yet. And, you know, Minshew has started in the NFL. I don't know that he's, you know, Brett Favre like we all thought. But certainly there's something there. Maybe they catch a little lightning in a bottle.
Last one for you, Ian Rappaport. The trade deadline, as we mentioned, Tuesday. Anybody else? We're just so obviously Deshaun Watson-centric. Who else might get moved? What are you looking to see over the next
couple
four
names
days?
To keep an eye on here. Melvin Ingram with the Steelers is one. L.J. Collier, the former first-rounder with the Seahawks, he is another. Kyle Fuller, the DB from the Broncos, who they signed and has kind of fallen out of favor a little bit, he is another. Andre Dillard from the Eagles, who kind of got replaced as a left tackle but then played there 1 week and actually did really well. I think that would be expensive, but certainly possible. That would be another. So, you know, I'm not sure it's like the most star-studded trade deadline ever, and no one has any cap space, so that doesn't help. But I think we may see a couple things.
All right. Ian, thanks for the call, brother. You be well. Let's do this again. Look for my call, as always, and we'll chat.
Thank you for the call. Thank you guys for calling me.
I'll chat Sunday on game day morning with you. Thanks, Ian. That's Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet right here on the Rich Eisen Show. In other words, those names that you just heard, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm like, can we get that guy? Can we get that guy?
Yeah. Anybody on defense?
Well, Kyle Fuller, that wouldn't be a bad one, but guess where he's coming from? In division? Right. I think go pound sand.
Right?
Right? I don't know. I mean, if you make the right offer, I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm like, the calls are got to come from within the house.
Something. They got to do something on defense. They're historically bad.
I don't know. Could be changing the coach. I don't. Or Patrick Mahomes was like, let's just execute better. We're all here. If you missed anything that Patrick said, go to our YouTube feed, youtube.com/RichEisenShow. He was on yesterday. Joe Manganiello, the Steelers still to come. When we come back still, another coach from the state of Pennsylvania with a soundbite in his press conference. A little bit different from Tomlin's. That's coming up next.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number dial. Difference between long-standing tenured coaches and winning coaches and new coaches who are struggling. Difference. Big difference. Difference between winning coaches and losing coaches. When you're a winning coach, you know, you're a player's coach, right? When you're a losing coach, you're like letting the players have too much say, right? You don't have control of the locker room when you're a losing coach. When you're a winning coach, boy, you know you are in tune. Guys are loose because you know what they like. That's the difference. Mike Tomlin, longstanding winning coach. Mike Del Tufo, do you have the new drop here on the Rich Eisen Show? One of the greatest new drops in the history of new drops here on the Rich Eisen
never
Show.
Never say never, but never.
There you go. We're all talking about his incredible press conference of just tamping down everything about all sorts of conversations involving USC wanting him to be the next football coach. Western.
Never say never, but never.
Settle down just a little bit.
Thank you. Well, I mean, Mike Tomlin on that Western PA wall. Steelers fans who still can't stand him, even they loved him for that.
Yeah,
Because he's, you know, hashtag here we go. He's not going anywhere. He's in the greatest job in professional sports. Easily the best place to be in professional sports where nobody's going to fire you unless your name's Bill Belichick is Pittsburgh, PA. Mm-hmm. Chuck Knoll to Bill Cowher to Mike Tomlin, 1969 to 2021 and beyond. What else do you want to know?
That's crazy.
Then the difference between even coaches who fans want to have a hot seat when the seat will never get hot, and Mike Tomlin, they love him for that. And then you got a coach in Philadelphia that's struggling, and Nick Sirianni. Remember, he came out and it looked like he had never spoken in front of a microphone before,
yeah,
in his first press conference.
Super weird. Yeah.
And then he started talking about, you know, rock, paper, scissor and things like that, you know, during the training camp or all that. And we were wondering what's happening. But then they won in week one. Yep. And Jalen Hurts, he had his photograph on. Like he wore
a
Jalen Hurts shirt.
Yeah.
And we're all like, well done, Nick. Like, you're caping for your guy, and your guy is your winner, and you're going to be like, he had his finger on the pulse. Well, now they're losing. And here comes this soundbite, and I think will resonate. Have you heard this one yet, Christopher?
I have not.
Okay, guys. Nick Sirianni was asked today his message to the team. Okay. Here was his 90-second response.
I said, right, that you know, the results aren't there right now, but what's going on here is that there's growth under the soil. I put a picture of a flower up, right, and that it's coming through the ground, and the roots are growing out, and the roots are continuing to grow out. And everybody wants to see results. Nobody wants to see results more than us, right? We want to see results too. But it's really important that the foundation is being built and that the roots are growing out. And the only way the roots grow out every single day and they grow stronger and they grow better is if that we all put our, we all water, we all fertilize, we all do our part. Each individual coach, each individual player, everybody in the building, that we do our part to water, to make sure that when it does pop out, it really pops out and it grows. And so that was my message today. And so like I said to you guys before, I'm always thinking of different messages to give to the team. That either messages that I think that really fit to the situation that I've gotten before in a situation from another head coach or from my dad or whatever. And so that was my message today because we are going through tough times and everybody wants to see results. But just keep doing what we're doing. Keep watering. Keep and look at yourself first and know are you watering and are you fertilizing every day. So when it's time to pop, it'll pop.
So I'm just going to say this now to you guys, all right, and understand where it's coming from. It's coming from, I want this show to be the best possible show every day. As I mentioned, we just celebrated our 7th anniversary. Yeah. Today's our 200th show on Peacock, but we're not going to get caught up in that stuff because every show is a new show. Every segment's a new segment. And we got to be the best we can be. So I'm going to ask you guys right now, and I need you to be honest. Have you watered or fertilized today? Is that a no? Are you shaking your head no? Mike, have you watered or fertilized today?
My baby Yoda chia pet got watered this morning.
Oh, good job, Mike.
TJ,
yeah.
Have you watered or fertilized today?
I mean, it's my second cup of tea today.
So. Brockman, I want a straight answer. Have you watered or fertilized today?
Well, it rained the other day in L.A., so I was trying to conserve a little water for
guys,
the lawn, so I haven't yet.
From now on, I want you to come in here and hit that sign, whatever sign it is.
Play like a...
Water and fertilize like a champion today.
Fertilize like a...
Because I want it to pop out.
And the it being the show, okay? Just
got it. Thank you for clarifying.